Last night, Craig prayed for me for asthma, and didn't really feel very much when he prayed, but when I went to bed, or before I went to bed, I didn't take my preventative. And when I was lying in bed, I felt this incredible anointing come upon me. And I said to my husband, oh, I can feel the anointing. And anyway, I woke up this morning being able to breathe for the first time in years. I woke up without a pain in my chest. And my husband said to me, do you realize that you didn't wheeze all night like you normally do? So thank you very much.
Jerusalem, city of tears, weep no more. Jerusalem, down through the years, you've longed for peace at your door. Your prophets have said to lift up your head, your day will come once more. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, praise the Lord. You're the city of the King, let all the people sing, hallelujah, praise the Lord. The Messiah will return and rule this land again for a thousand years or more. Ask and you'll receive, seek and you will find, knock and you'll open the door. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Jerusalem, city of tears, weep no more. Jerusalem, down through the years, you've longed for peace at your door. Your prophets have said, lift up your head, your day will come once more. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, praise the Lord. New Jerusalem, streets of gold and fresh stones. The God will be your light, and there will be no night, everlasting days of joy. You're the city of the King, let all the people sing, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Jerusalem, city of tears, weep no more. Jerusalem, down through the years, you've longed for peace at your door. Your prophets have said, lift up your head, your day will come once more. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, kingdom of God. Jerusalem,
City of. Well, morning to you folks. It's great to be with you this morning. Is the sound all right? You can hear me? It's good to be part of the, you know, of this weekend and your convention. Thanks to the National Board for the invitation to come and just to share with you and to be part of what God is doing in business today. And as I am in ministry and in business to a degree, it's a real pleasure to know that. And it's great to see that God is stirring up hearts in business and men and women that are involved in the marketplace today, because I believe God is doing some wonderful things in the marketplace more than what we realize and what we can see. As I travel, I see men and women in business having such a heart for what God is doing in these times we're living in. So for me to share my testimony this morning is a real pleasure to come and just say to you, I believe that God has been doing a wonderful work. And if I go back to my early years in 1997, those sort of years when I was I would call a nominal Christian. My wife and I were Catholics, good Catholics, we thought, and I love the Catholics because I believe God is doing something in the church today, in the Orthodox churches, and He's stirring up lives and bringing them closer to Him. And we went through a time of trial and tribulation in marriage, as we sometimes always do. And Linda and I found that we were pulling apart further and further. And I'd just come out of, I'd been in training through one of the military services in South Africa, where I was born and grew up in those years. And I was trained in the special forces in the Navy. And I think I'd got to a place in my life where I needed something more. And I didn't know what it was, what I needed, what God's plan was for me. And And while we were going through our domestic, finding one another, trying to see what God was doing, a friend of Linda's said to us, "Well, why don't you come to one of the churches in the city and just see what God is doing there and try that out and see what you think?" So we went one Sunday night to a Pentecostal church. And for those of you who are all Pentecostals, coming out of a Catholic background into a Pentecostal church is quite scary, you know. And we thought that it was called the Church on the Hill because it was built on the hill in a city called East London, a big church. And God was moving in the church, and there were many healings, and things were really happening spiritually in the city. So when we arrived, we kind of got thrust into this, and we thought, wow, you know. Linda said, "No, I'm going back to the Catholic Church. These people are crazy." So we felt that we would continue. We'll go to the Catholic Church in the morning, the Pentecostal in the evening. And in the evening, one evening, I felt the Lord, the Spirit of God, when He moves corporately, and I believe God is moving corporately, the Spirit of the Lord came on me. The Lord said, "I'm calling you." So I responded to the Lord. I gave my life to the Lord in a way that we do. And I felt that God say to me, "I'm calling you." But you know, you always think that voice that comes, you know, that's the devil. You know, God wouldn't want to call me. And, you know, I argued with the Lord for a while until a prophetic word came. And I'd never heard a prophetic word in my life before. And the senior leader said, "God is calling you. He's placed His hand on your life." And he's saying, you know, "You need to respond to the call of God." Well, I fought that for a while, and I did. And then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit of God came on me, I knew that something had changed in me. And then I started getting involved in different aspects of the church. And I went into the healing side of ministry. And you know, there was a healing school that was operating. And I realized for the first time that, you know, God heals people. You know, so I encourage Craig in his ministry. God is healing people today. And I saw, you know, signs and wonders. And I went to a missions trip with a friend. Funny enough, it's a friend that Craig is ministering with in the UK, who started a church out of Haywards Heath. And he was one of the first men that I went and ministered with out in the rural areas of Africa. And God started using me with words of knowledge. When I started getting the words of knowledge, I didn't know what they were. I just knew God was saying something. And they said to me, "Well, when God gives you that word, make sure you give it to the right person." And these words started coming. And I thought, you know, God was doing things, and I didn't know what they were because they were accelerating in my life. And then in the church, the prophetic started flowing, and I realized that God had given me a prophetic gift. And I said, yeah, God, this is wonderful. But I didn't quite know what to do with it until one of the prophetic men in the church, and we had a church of a big church of 2,000 people, came and grabbed hold of me and said, listen, God's doing something, and we want to guide you and help you that you go the right way in God. And, you know, if we can allow somebody to come in and mentor our lives and say, God, use me, but God uses men and women to mold us, to help us to go where He wants us to go. So this, they took hold of me, and at times the prophetic would come upon me in the service, and sometimes I would struggle with fear, you know, and I think many of you might struggle with fear. And I would get a, you know, the Holy Spirit would come upon me, and my knees would start shaking so much that I would have to hold onto the chair in the front to try and keep myself from, my knees from knocking. But I knew that God was knocking on my heart, and I was able to break free of fear, the fear of man, the fear of opinion of man, and go and prophesy. And as I started doing that, I realized God was doing things through me in the church. And I want to say to you, I believe that God has given everybody, every one of us, the body of Christ, a gift or gifts. There's the 9 beautiful gifts of the Spirit, but there's more than that in God. You know, as we release ourselves and say, God, come in, use me to your glory, God will use you. So as I've, you know, God started changing my life and molding me and breaking fear that I could go and do what He wanted me to do, I said, God, you know, just take me where you want me to, where you want to use me. And you know, when you say that to God, you've got to be open, because God will move you. And I cried one day, I said, God, give me the nations as my inheritance. That was early in the 90s, and I realized then that God was starting to do things in our lives. And when we went into a prophetic school for 2 years, and we were trained and we were equipped, and at the end of the school, it was a school that ran for 2 years only. It could have run longer, but they felt that it had come to a stage where they needed to do other things in the church. And I think the church went through a difficult time at that time, because there was so much flowing out of these meetings that it was touching the church, but we couldn't even keep our hands on it, because it was just so big. And it caused, you know, a rift in the church. And often when there's gifts of God flowing in the church, the enemy comes in and wants to stop that. And that did happen, and the prophetic man, the prophet in the church, came to me and he said to me, the mantle that God has put on you is not for now. He said, it's for a time to come. That was in 1994. I can say to you, in 1997, when we left to come to New Zealand, we didn't know then that God was moving us to another nation. But the Lord spoke to me one morning, and He said to me, I will move you to another nation, to a people you do not know, to a place you do not know. So we were open to that, and we prayed, Linda and I, we sold our house, and we waited on God. One morning, early in the morning, God said to me, I am the bright morning star. You know, Revelations 22:16, where it speaks about I'm the root of David. And it says, I am the bright morning star. And the Lord said to me, my star will rise again in the east, and my glory will come upon the nations of the east. And I knew, excuse me, that God was speaking to me about His glory coming back upon the nations, and particularly this part of the world. So I said, God, show me where you want me to go. And as we prayed, and a friend of ours, who was an intercessor in our church for a long time, went to America. She came from America and prayed in our church when we went through a difficult time. And she interceded day and night for us. And she said to me, about the time we were seeking to go, she said, you know, I know that God's moving you. We don't know where it is, but let's wait. And you know, the day that a friend of ours contacted us that was living in Auckland said to us, why don't you come to New Zealand and have a look and see if this is the eastern part of what God is saying to you, or where God is leading you. So we said, we'll wait and we'll pray. And we, you know, we had Australia, we had Canada. We thought, you know, where is God speaking to us? And a letter came the day that we were catching the plane. Well, I was catching the plane to come and have a look at New Zealand. And she said, you know, I believe that God is leading you to Auckland, New Zealand. So I knew that God had confirmed His word by saying, "This is the place I want you to come." It was 1997. So we obediently came and I said, "Lord, if this is the place, give me a job." And the first interview I went for, the guy phoned me up 2 days later and said, "The job's yours. When can you start?" So I knew that God was in this. I went to a local church on the Sunday, and a man from Singapore came forward and he said to me, "God's called you with keys to unlock things in people's lives. Don't hold back. Go according to what God is saying to you. Trust the voice of God." So I said, "Okay, Lord." And then we came and we settled in New Zealand, my family, my two daughters and my wife and I, and off we went, you know, and God started using us in the ministry, in places, you know, in business, but also in ministry. And I traveled with Bruce McDonald to places, my prophetic gifts started growing because I was being exposed and I was being stretched. And, you know, God wants to stretch us. He doesn't want us to stay the same. And He wants to, you know, expand what He's put in us. There's a capacity in us far beyond what we realize. And if we open ourselves and say, "God, stretch that capacity that He's put in us," something starts moving. And that's what God started doing. And I met Rodney Francis in 2000, and I traveled with him to many, many nations of the world in the prophetic gifting and in the call that God has put upon us. So I say to you, you know, if you open to God and you're available to God, God can move you to nations. He can take you and He can use you. I'm nobody special, but I knew that then as God spoke to me about His gifting, about His spirit, that there was something that He was unlocking in me. And we've seen that the ministry change to a degree in that people that have come to us for counsel, the area of deliverance and healing has been a large part of the ministry that has come our way. And we didn't put our hand up and say, "God, bring them, let them come." Somehow they just phoned me up and the people come and say, we're struggling in the area of fear and abuse. And you know, and I went to America in the year 2000. It was about the year 2001, and God gave me an incredible word while I was there. I was sleeping one morning. Sometimes I sleep in the morning, but anyway, this particular morning I was sort of half awake and half asleep, you know, that sort of early hour of the morning, and I woke up suddenly and I looked at the alarm clock, it had a digital clock, and it said 18 minutes past 4, 4:18. And I said, "Oh, that's interesting." That happened to me the next morning, and then the third morning. And then the fourth morning when it happened to me, I hit myself on the head and said, "God's trying to say something to me, and I'm not listening." So I said, "Lord, what is it you're saying?" And the Lord said to me, Luke 4:18. He said, "My church is going to be, I'm releasing men and women with a gifting to bring healing and restoration upon my church." And we've seen since then an incredible increase in the area of restoration in the body of Christ, where people have come to be set free and to be healed. For the Lord says, for the anointing, Jesus said, "The anointing of the Spirit is upon me. He's called me to, you know, preach the good news. The good news is our testimony. The good news is about Jesus, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are in captivity, to speak deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to speak to those that are bound in, you know, in all sorts of religions, all sorts of problems, that He wants to come and bring the church into a place of restoration." And you know, the church isn't the four walls. I want to say that to you. It's not the four walls. We are the church. And God is calling the church to arise in the marketplace. And I've seen God use me in the marketplace to bring men and women to healing and restoration, because I've heard the voice of God and I've said, "God, as I hear your voice, I want to be obedient to what you're saying so that I can set my brothers and sisters free so they can become who you've called them to be." And I say that to you as a church. We are called as a church to arise into this generation to make a difference. Your age is not the problem. It's our availability. You know, when Peter stood up and he prophesied in the book of Acts in 2:17, he said, there were many that were, he said, "They are not drunk and as you suppose, but they are filled with the Holy Spirit." You know, he spoke about, you know, in the last days, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. We are in the last days, church. We are in the last days. And God is pouring out His Spirit. If we can open our hearts and say, God, come upon me, come in me, flow through me, use me to be who You've called me to be. And if we can just allow the Spirit of God to just move upon us, we will prophesy, we will set the captives free. We will speak, and you know, Peter spoke about young and old. Your young men shall dream, and your old men, or your young men shall have visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And I believe God is talking to us in visions and dreams today. Each one of us, you know, I was down in Turangi. I sometimes go down there to fish a little bit. And I was lying down in my early morning and God woke me up in a dream. And He spoke to me out of Acts 17:28. He said, you know, it's a beautiful scripture where He says, in Him we move and have our being. And I realized that God was talking to me about intimacy. Intimacy in Him, church. He's called us to have that intimacy, that relationship, so we can encourage the body. And you see, as we start speaking into people's lives and bringing them to a place of liberty and freedom, we just see wonderful results come because God is interested in the individual. I want to really say that to you again. God is interested in the individual. And when God uses me prophetically to touch lives and to speak into people's lives and they get encouraged, I get encouraged because I know that God cares for them. And God is doing that more and more because He's building the body. He's establishing His truth. He's establishing His healing power in us. So as we see wonderful testimonies of men and women being healed, I believe He's calling the average, all of us, we are average Christians maybe, but God says, if you've got a heart for me and you're open to me, I can use you in a greater capacity to bring restoration upon the world, upon those that are, you know, just that need a touch from God. So I can say to you, God has been working in me and through me to do that. I got a call recently from an Australian man who it's a ministry called Storm Harvest, and it's a prophetic ministry. And they said to me, "We're going to have a prophetic round table for the nation of Australia and New Zealand." And they asked many men and women in the prophetic ministry to come and meet with him to discuss what God is doing in this part of the world. And I felt privileged to be asked. I felt probably unworthy to be asked, but I knew that, you know, God doesn't call us without, you know, enabling us to be part of what He's doing. And, you know, I've seen those calls come, and I've said, God, you know, You can call somebody from another part of the world and send them to the uttermost part of the world. And I think this is the uttermost part. When God said, go to the uttermost part, that's where I ended up, in the uttermost part. If I go any further south, I'd fall off the other end and have to start all over again. But I said, Lord, thank You for sending me here, because out of this place, You have birthed something in me that I can take back to the nations. So God has used me back across into Africa. And I was recently Nairobi, Kenya, and we were able to minister into individual lives and touch leaders in Nigeria, Burundi, Sudan, many other nations that came, because God is calling men and women to a place where He wants to bring them to the knowledge of who He is. So I've seen God touch lives there. I spoke into a man's life who I didn't, he came into the small group and I was facilitating a small group in the word of knowledge. And he sat down and the Lord said to me, encourage this man and tell him that what he's about to embark on will change his nation. So I looked at the man, and you know, sometimes you look at people and you think, no, that can't be right. So I obeyed God and I started speaking into his life. And he came to me after and says, you know, I'm a bishop of about 140, 50 churches. He says, I've lost count, he says, sometimes. He says, they multiply so quickly. But he said, I said to him, God is calling you to expand your ministry beyond Nigeria into other nations. He said, you know, God's been talking to me about that, because I'm raising up a new type of leader that will be courageous for God. So I knew that God was stirring this man up, but I was able to help him to see what God was saying and just speak the purpose and the destiny that God had for his life. So God has got a destiny for us that He wants us to get to. But we can get there if we just listen to that voice. God is speaking more often than what we realize. more often than what we realize, we just got to listen and say, God, I'm prepared to take a step of obedience when you speak. And, you know, I was in the local cafe in Nigeria with the team, and we went for a coffee, very good coffee in Nigeria. And we were sitting there, and the ladies were serving some of the you know, sort of, they'd come into the cafe, and they serve from the counter and all that. And as she was walking past, the Lord said to me, encourage that lady because she has the faith to be saved. You know, sometimes when God speaks to you in an obscure way, you sometimes wonder, is that God? And I looked at this young girl that was walking through, and I said, okay, Lord. So I called her over, and I said to her, you know, the Lord is speaking to me about your life and saying to you, it's time to turn to Him and give your life to Him and throw all your cares upon Him, because He wants to take you and heal your family and bring you into a new place. And this young lady looked at me, and I could see that the tears started coming in her eyes. And she said to me, yes, I think that God is speaking to my life. She said, I've got many worries and many cares. She said, but I know that God is calling me for what He has in the future. So two of the ladies in the team led her to the Lord. And she came and shared later that her sister had been through a terrible time and ended up with AIDS and was in desperate need. So they ministered to the sister in AIDS that had AIDS, and she gave her life to the Lord. And before I left, I went back to her and said, keep following God because He's on your case. He's on your life. And she said, but I've got another friend that wants to speak to you because she wants to give her life to the Lord. So I was able to lead a friend to the Lord. And you know, just out of that one word of obedience, there were three people that were changed because God was moving. And that's how God operates. You know, if we take the first step, we don't know what the repercussions and the are. You know, there's just such a follow on from our obedience. When I was working in a company in Auckland, and I was working there as an MD before I felt that God called us in the 31st of March last year. I resigned. That was the day I left, and I started into itinerant ministry the 1st of April. Some would say that's a good day to start. And God uses the foolish to confound the wise. I said, that's me, Lord. And off I went. And but while I was there, there were men and women that I was able to touch for God. The lady that was our accountant was a lovely Christian, but her husband was an atheist. And he let everybody know that he was an atheist from what he said and what he did. He worked for us as a plumber, and he would come in and do the odd job. And he would be very difficult to handle, but because of the association, we let him carry on in the business. And he did a good job, very, very thorough man, but very vocal in what he said. And sometimes the words that he used, well, we tried to help him with that. That didn't help. But one... But one day I was in my car going out for lunch, and he pulled into the car park. And as I was about to leave, the Lord said to me, go encourage that man. I have a call of God on his life. Now, you know, I put my key in, and I thought, well, it's not a good idea, this, Lord. And the Lord said to me, I want you to encourage him now. You know, I felt that emphasis of the Lord. So I got out the car, and he was just going into the steps into the business. And I called Paul. I said, I need to chat to you. And he sort of turned and he looked at me, and he knew my stand with the Lord, and he kind of wasn't ready to receive. But I said, okay, Lord, I'm obedient to you. I said, I want to encourage you. I believe God is calling you. God's got a missions call for your life, and He's calling you into leadership because He's placed a leadership mantle on your life. Are you ready, Paul, to hear what God is saying to you, what God wants you to do in the next season of your life? I said, He's going to take you to nations you haven't been to before. If you can just be obedient to what He's saying to you. Oh, he looked at me and he said some choice words, which I won't repeat. And he stormed in, and I said, oh, Lord, I've lost my brother. I haven't won my brother for you. And, you know, Leanne left the business after a short time to go to Bible college. And she said to me just before she left, I didn't know that you'd shared with my husband. She said, because that word has been worrying him and has been stirring him up. And he's been angry. He's been angry with me and angry with the family ever since you gave him that word. So I said, oh, you know, I really, it troubled me because I felt I'd missed what God was saying. But, you know, 2 years later, she came back in at the end to see me at Christmas, at our Christmas break, and said, "I've just come to say goodbye to everybody because we're going to Australia." She said, "Oh, that's interesting." She says, "But I'll come and see you in a short while. I'll just go and say goodbye to everybody." And off she went, but I went into a meeting, so I wasn't able to see her, but she left a letter for me. And in this letter, she said, "You know, that word troubled my husband so much." He said, "But he did follow the Lord. He, in obedience, he gave his life to God." He said, "He had that boat," he said, "which he was going to take us around the world, all five of us as children, the five children and myself. And we all didn't want to go overseas, and we told him that." And he said, "But now he sold the boat. We're taking the family. We're going to Perth, and we're going to serve the Lord from Perth. We're going to be missionaries into Asia." She said, "When the word of God came to my husband and touched his life, it turned his heart to the Lord. Even though he didn't want to recognize that God had spoken to him, he fought God." He said, "But in the end, when he responded to God, God suddenly changed his life, turned him around." And he said, "God, I'll go where you want me to go." And God sent them to Perth, and now they're serving the Lord. And their children too, the five children, have just turned their lives. But they saw their father change. They changed. And they started serving God because of what they saw, excuse me, in their father. So I want to say to you, God can change people's lives when we are obedient to what he's doing around us. So I say to you, church, let God use you, because we are instruments. We are ambassadors of God. We're the agents that God has raised up on the earth to go about and do his works, to bring about change and opportunity in people's lives. So I know that there's only a little bit of time left this morning, but I thought I would just encourage a few of you, if you'd allow me to do that. Probably what you don't expect guest speakers to do, but I don't always do the expected. So if that's all right with you, I'll just stir up a few of you and help you along the way. Is that all right? My wife always says, "Don't make people cry when you miss us." I'll try and behave myself today as best I can. I've got to, yeah, to keep me under control. Is that right? what is your name? Esther. Yep, I just want to say to you, excuse me, God's hand is on your life. He's calling you. I see an intercessor's heart, one that's called to intercede, to stand in the gap for many. He's placed his hand on you with a heart of compassion for people. Esther is calling you to come forth. That word in Esther 4:14. Do we know that God has called us to the kingdom for such a time as this? I say that to you because he's placed his hand on you to arise into your destiny in God. I just see you as a real woman of God with a mantle on you, not only in song, but in the word. He's placed his word in your heart, and I just encourage you to rise into the fullness that he has for you. Don't let the past hinder your progress in God, because he's raising you up into this new season of your life. And I want to release healing and restoration upon you into the fullness that he's called you into, Esther, because his hand is upon you. Hear the call and hear the cry of God for you. This is your day and this is your hour. So I release the power of God upon you in a new way, in Jesus' name, that you will call forth those things that aren't as though they are, in the name of Jesus. Arise into the fullness that he has for you as a woman. And we say, God, release her today to be all that she should be in Jesus Christ. Thank you for her, Lord. Thank you for the call and the release. I release the gifts, the word of knowledge, Lord, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Let her be the woman you've called her to be, our God. And we release healing into her spirit in the name of Jesus. Peace of God upon you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Malcolm, God isn't finished with you. God has called you as an intercessor and a caller of men to come forth. And I say to you, run, brother, because upon you he's put his spirit. And he'll give you dreams and he'll give you visions for this generation. And I say to you, there's a heart for the nation of New Zealand that cries out on the, like a watchman that cries on the corners and upon the gates. And, you know, God has given us the keys to unlock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The gates are an offensive, and we've got the, you know, it's a defensive area, and we can just break the gates down. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. As you pray and intercede, God's raising you up to be all that He's called you to be because of your obedience, your availability in God. Bring a team, raise up a team, raise up a ministry for God in that area. He's placed it in your heart, brother. Go for it in God. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Brother, where are you from? You're from Auckland?
Yes.
Oh, but you're not originally from Auckland, eh? But Malaysia. Okay, yes, you've got a very good heart for ministry, brother.
Yes.
And God is going to use you to touch people. I believe you'll go back to your nation because you carry something in business and in the Lord that is quite unique. And there's an astuteness about you in business, and I believe God will use you to start businesses in a great way in people's lives and release, a godliness in the business, a purity of God in you. And I want to encourage you, brother, integrity of heart. You have integrity. And God wants you to use that to touch other younger men, to start businesses that will bring glory to God. And you're a God's called you with a mentoring gift to mentor other people in their gifting, in their call in business. So I encourage you, start businesses where you can mentor young men and let those businesses run on for God. He's called you for that, for a time such as this, brother. Go for it, in Jesus' name. You know, I don't always see that far, but I'll keep looking for what I see. Is that all right? You bear with me when I do that. Thank you very much. There were some people that I saw earlier on, and I sometimes have to look for them to see them, because my eyes aren't there. Sorry, that couple right at the back there, or what are your names? Yep. You don't have to turn around. It's you. Yes, sir. What is your name? Sorry?
Ernie.
Ernie and?
Sally.
Yeah, I just really see you as a key couple in God. And I believe that God has put leadership upon you both. And I want to encourage you that God is really going to use you both in a wonderful way. I see the counsel of God upon you, Sally. God has given you wisdom as a woman to minister into people's lives. The love of God. Breakthrough. You've got a breakthrough ministry. You can bring them into healing and restoration in God. I want to encourage you, Sally. God's still got lots to do in you and through you. Rise to it, Sally. There's wisdom upon you, and the counsel of God rests in your life. So you need to impart that to others so that they can come to restoration in the fullness of God and in the fullness of time. It's, you know, there's never a time that we retire in God. I want to say that to you. God keeps using us all the time, and that's so exciting. I believe there's an exciting future for you. And sorry, so what is your name again?
Ernie.
God's also using you in business, and He'll use you in your community. Ernie, rise to it. And God has got so much more for you in this season of your lives. It's not time to withdraw. It's time to come forth with the wisdom of God upon you in the name of Jesus. Okay, Ernie, much is in you. Much will be expected. Sorry, what is your name, lady there this year? Yeah. Sorry? Julie. I'm a bit deaf in this year, and this one doesn't work, but otherwise I'm in good shape. I also encourage you too as a woman of God. I believe that God has done a wonderful work in your life. And He wants to use you in ministry in a good way to touch lives, to touch other women. I see women's ministry in your life. And I believe that God's saying, you trust me and you stretch. Put yourself out there. Availability. God's looking for your availability. You know, it's not who we are, the skill we've given. It's the gifts He's placed in us. And as we allow God to stretch us and mold us and shape us into the form that He's called us, we will become all He's called us to be. And I say that to you because I believe you're waiting on God. And, you know, more often than not, God's waiting on us. Okay? He's waiting us to make the first move. And then as we move, God follows on. And he releases us into all that we do. Don't wait on God. He's waiting for you to get up and run and go with him. You're a firelighter. There's much more in you than you realize. There's a spark of God in you that you need to touch others with so they can get, you know, excited about God and run on for God. So don't sit on your gifting. Stir them up. Get going in God. He's touched your life and others want to see that. Work through you. Yes. You know, God is touching people today. I get so excited when I see what God is doing. What is your name?
Annika.
I want to encourage you too in God. I believe God is bringing you to restoration. God loves you, and he wants you to know his unending, his fulfilling life. You have a capacity in God that he wants to expand. And you're a faithful woman, faithful in God. But let God use you more than what you think. God can use you more than what you realize. There is so much more there. And there's a treasure trove in you. You know, when you found the pearl of great price, you knew what it meant. And God wants you to impart that to others, that you can tell them about how precious he is when you find him and what he can do to change your past into a future. He has a good future and a good hope. And you need to spread that message, because many don't have a hope and they don't have a future. But God's called you to tell them about a future that they can have with a hope that they've lost. The hopeless will come to you and you'll put your hands around them and upon them and you'll speak hope. You'll speak life into them because of what God has done in you. Remember, he's called you to speak life and restoration. You too, sir. God's called you to just speak and stand as a pillar for men. Righteousness. You know what righteousness is. And God wants you to just impart that to men. What the kingdom is. Paul spoke about joy, peace, and righteousness in the kingdom of God. And I believe that you're one of those pillars that speak about those three things. Peace, righteousness, and hope too. And I believe as a couple, your home will be a home of refuge, because others will come and you can speak life into them. We carry life in what we speak, and God wants us to speak that into lives and release and nurture them and carry them until they can run again for him. And I believe your home is a home where they will come and be restored so they can run on for God. You're a good man, sir. Remember that. Don't doubt that. God is only just starting, Jeanette, a ministry that will take you beyond the shores of New Zealand. I want to encourage you that I see in you a woman with a capacity to share hope, to share graciousness. You carry grace upon you. And when anger arises, grace comes in and it breaks anger. And I believe that God wants you to bring healing into women's lives that have known disappointment, from unfulfilled expectations. And God's calling you to bring healing into the brokenhearted, to those that have known separation from families, children that have not known the way to go. I believe that God's going to use you to touch lives. You're going to have a case packed and you're going to travel for God beyond where you've been before, because he's called you to be a minister for him. He's called you for the kingdom, into the kingdom for a time such as this. There's a uniqueness that you carry. You carry a love that is that will bring healing. Love casts, perfect love casts out all fear. And God's called you to speak that into the hopelessness, into the fearful situations that women are finding themselves in today. And where they've been addicted to drugs and other sort of bondages. God's given you the ability to break bondages. And I just release the power of God in you in a new way to bring restoration and break bondages that have been upon people, upon their lives, where they've walked in darkness. And God's called you to release them out of darkness into the wonderful works and the wonderful way that he's called them into. He's called them into a new way to go. And he's saying to you, if you can arise with the power of God in you in this new season of opportunity for God, I believe that you will see signs following the ministry of the word. God's put his counsel on you with wisdom and understanding of the knowledge of who he is. We because he's called you into that in the fullness of time to fulfill those purposes that he's placed upon you. He put that seed in you. Our DNA was called before we were even born. God placed his DNA upon us that we will fulfill our destiny for the season of our lives. There's a new season for you and for your family. I call you to rise up. And Graham, I say to you, you're going to travel more. I believe that you're a man in business that's touched many people because of the righteousness of God in you. But I believe God wants you to use you as a mentor as well, as a father figure to touch. I believe there's a fatherness in you that young men and women are going to experience where they haven't known a father's love and a father's direction, a father's impartation that comes from just being a father. So I want to encourage you, you get hold of those young families and you impart that father's love to them, that father's direction, that father's security that comes from knowing who you are as a father. They will look to you and say, there's a godly man, a man that can give us the love and understanding and the listening ear. You're a good listener, and people want to come and pour out their concerns to you because they know you care for them. And God's given you a compassionate heart for as a man, a heart that will hear the cry and hear the call. But more than that, you will respond because God's given you that gift to do things for people, to speak into their lives, but to help them to overcome the hurdles that they have in life. And he's placed upon you a generous spirit. You know, a generous spirit comes from, I believe a prophetic spirit is a generous spirit. It gives, and it gives, and it gives. And God's given you that ability, you know, with a generous heart to help others to overcome the difficulty they've been in. He's given you a ministry of mercies and help, and use it to the glory of God. And much wisdom is upon you, brother. God's strengthening you. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Sorry, what's your names? Bert and Ida. Yeah, you're also quite an unusual couple in God. And I mean that as a real blessing. You're a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. Don't doubt who God is. God has put upon you so much is in you to bless the body, to equip. You know, there's a richness in you that I believe God wants to use. And I believe that he's somehow using your compassion to touch, Ida, to touch others. You've got a wonderful heart for people. And God wants to use that to speak into their lives, to be available for them. And, you know, I just see you, there's a love for younger people in your heart. You know, you minister into children because they need what you've got. And you bring security to them. You'll bring love to them. You'll bring a mother's heart. You know, many will come and sit under your wings and be secure in the love that you have for them. I believe you will touch orphans. You will touch those that have not known parents, those that have not known a mother's love. Go for it, because God is on your case. He's on your case, sir. It's a good time to move ahead in the things of God in your life. Don't hold back. Just say, Lord, I will take the step of obedience to follow you and do what you've called me to do. I see you traveling a lot and going into places you haven't been to before because of God's Spirit upon you. You carry much in God. Go for it. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to make you late this morning, but yeah. Yes. Graham and... Graham and Sandy? Yeah, Graham and Sandy. And I just really... Each time I see you, I get that excitement in my spirit about God using you in a different way in business, but beyond that. I just sense that God has had his hand upon your lives as a couple for a long time. And God is raising you up into prominence in the body of Christ. And I just believe he'll use you in this nation and in other nations. Graham, I believe that God's going to send you to other nations with a message of God for businesses, to help businesses in their ethics, in their ability to do things in a godly way. And I believe your role is going to change in the next years, in the recent years to come. It's not always going to be where it is today. God is somehow taking you both into a place of real effectiveness for the body of Christ. And... I don't have exact clear picture, but I know that it's going to be travel. It's going to be in an area of governance in businesses where you'll speak much into leaders' lives and be on many, many boards of companies that will speak into their lives, speak into them as a business and into personal lives because of what God has done in you. God is calling you to rise up, Graham, into the fullness that He has for you. And Sandy, you've got an effective ladies' ministry. I want to encourage you, see yourself as effectively touching ladies in a greater capacity than you've done before because of what God has done in you. You've got a compassionate heart, a heart of care and understanding for where people are at. You can see their need, and you know, as it says, when Jesus saw their needs, He was moved by compassion. You get moved by what you see, and God wants to use that to touch lives, to help ladies to find their way, to be restored in motherhood, restored as women of God, and bring their dignity back into their marriages and into their homes. He's called you to speak that in, to mentor them into their fullness in God. So rise into that in the season of your life. Let go of the past, because I believe He's taking you up into a new level. You know, He's launching you up into beyond where you've been before. Can you receive that? Because God's saying, come on, let's do something new here. And I believe it's time to do that. I encourage you both. You've got a lot to give in the Lord. Really, you do. So bless you all. And I don't want to make your they said to me 10 o'clock sharp, so I better pull up my socks and say thank you again very much for having me, and we'll speak to you again. Thank you very much, Noel.